Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, of course, David Connolly. And a big hello to the students who I met up with down in London yesterday. It was actually great to see you all. And so discover exactly how you're going to go ahead in archaeology. So I wish you all the success in the future. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. The oldest human settlement in the Aegean has been unearthed, and excavations continue on a Bulgarian Neolithic site. Models of man's earliest vehicles are found in Turkmenistan, while Bronze Age finds are uncovered during road construction in Ireland. An ancient well and a body are found in Cyprus. And there's the start of a murder mystery. And keeping with mystery, rare petroglyphs are discovered in Cuban caves. A prehistoric flute in Germany is now the oldest confirmed musical instrument, while coming back to Earth, a possible Bronze Age roundhouse is found in Cornwall. The first Europeans were cannibals is a startling claim from Spain, and in Bethlehem an intact ancient tomb of the Canaanites is uncovered. The unique fingerprint of the obsidian trail shows how humans settled the Russian islands, and new cutting-edge work shows how food storage began before farming. Pagans, partygoers, greet the solstice at Stonehenge, and in Serbia archaeologists find a Neolithic grave. And to end with, we have the welcome news that many prehistoric European cave artists were female. The ruins of the oldest human settlement in the Aegean found so far have been unearthed in archaeological excavations by a team of Greek, Italian and American archaeologists on the island of Limnos in Greece. The excavation began in early June, and the finds recovered so far are stone tools of a very high quality from the Epipaleolithic period, approximately 14,000 years ago. They indicate the settlement of hunters and fishermen. Until now, it was believed that the oldest human presence in the Aegean had been located in the so-called Cyclops cave on the rocky islet of Eora, and at the Marula site on Kithnos Island, dating to around 8,000 BCE. A Dutch team have arrived at the Bulgarian village of Zuhulyunitsa to investigate the Neolithic archaeological site there. The object of their research will be the oldest funeral known in the Balkans, the burial of a 12 to 13-year-old individual which dates back to 6,300 to 6,150 BCE. The early Neolithic burial was discovered in 2004 by Nedko Elensky, an archaeologist at the Regional History Museum of the nearby city of Veliko Tarnovo. The anthropologists from the Netherlands are taking samples from the bones of the child in order to use DNA analysis that will reveal more information about the people who lived in central northern Bulgaria some 8,000 years ago. The Neolithic settlement at Zuhulyunitsa existed between 6,300 and 5,700 BCE. The original team also discovered pieces of 8,000-year-old corroded metal, which turned out to be copper. These finds have been sent to Germany in order to establish whether the metal had been worked by humans. Some of the world's first farmers may have sped around in two-wheeled carts pulled by camels and bulls. A new analysis on tiny models of the carts suggests they date to around 6,000 to 5,000 years ago. The cart models, which may have been ritual objects or children's toys, were found at Alandidepe, a Chalcolithic and Bronze Age settlement near Ashgabat in Turkmenistan. That's in Central Asia. The earliest of the cart models that has been studied has two wheels with shafts linked to a yoke. Visual representations of the associated harness suggest that oxen were the primary draft animals. The carts at this stage were not driven chariot style, but instead could have been directed from the side. Not that exciting a drive, really. Carts, however, dating to the second half of the 3rd millennium BCE, gained an additional two wheels. The most common type had high walls and two shafts, drawn by a single animal, the camel. The design of the carts and the behaviour of camels suggest that just a single camel pulled each cart. The researcher explained it was very difficult to use a pair of camels because they're rather evil animals. Little boys may have played with vehicles just like they do today, since at least one of the early model carts was found in the grave of a boy who died age 11. The carts may help to explain apparent connections between the early residents of what is now Turkmenistan and the ancient people of southeastern Iran and southern Afghanistan. David Christian, author of the book A History of Russia, Central Asia and Mongolia, describes a huge monumental gateway that was erected in Alentin Tepe around 3500 BCE. It was 15 metres wide and divided into two alleys, the narrower one for pedestrians and a wider one paved with stone for carts and wheeled traffic. So what are we going to discover next? Hopefully it's going to be traffic cones and traffic works. Excavation as part of the upgrade of the A1 Belfast to Dublin Road between Lochbrickland and Beech Hill in County Down, Northern Ireland, has uncovered a Bronze Age burial ground and a Neolithic settlement site dating back 6,500 years. Information about the archaeological discovery has been put on display on information boards at Lochbrickland Lakeside, near to the site of the road scheme. The Department of Regional Development, the DRD, intends the display to offer a medium for members of the public and interested parties to discover more about the area's unique history. Archaeologists have found a group of water wells in western Cyprus that were built as long ago as 10,500 years ago, and with them the skeleton of a young woman at the bottom of one shaft. Pavlos Florentsos, the nation's top antiquities official, said that the 5-metre-deep cylindrical shaft was found last month at a construction site in Kisonerga, a village on the southwest coast. After the well dried up, it apparently was used to dispose rubbish, and the items found in it included the poorly preserved skeleton of a young woman, as well as animal bone fragments, worked flint, stone beads and pendants from the island's early Neolithic period. The skeleton could be as old as the well itself, but archaeologists don't know how the girl died and when and why the skeleton was left there. Radiocarbon dating found the well is between 9,000 to 10,500 years old. That was around the time that migrating humans started to build permanent settlements on the island. Before then, temporary settlements were inhabited by seaborne migrants using Cyprus as a way station to other destinations. Cypriot archaeologists studied the well in collaboration with Edinburgh University. The university has excavated in the area over the last 3 decades, unearthing several settlements dating from the Chalcolithic period. Cuban archaeologists are studying the strange drawings found in caves in eastern Cuba. The petroglyphs discovered in the Sierra del Rosario reserve, located in Pinar del Rio province, have now motivated large-scale research in the area to establish the origin of the asymmetric carvings in the stalagmites. The Cuban Anthropology Institute have called the 2-centimetre by 7-centimetre discovery as extraordinary and have linked it to the Banwari trace tradition of Trinidad in the East Caribbean. The wingbone of the griffin vulture, with 5 precisely drilled holes in it, is become known as the oldest known musical instrument. A 35,000-year-old relic unearthed in a German cave that offers the latest evidence that early modern humans in Europe had established a complex and creative culture. A team led by University of Tübingen archaeologist Nicholas Connard assembled the flute from 12 pieces of griffin vulture bone scattered in a small area of the Hohlfels cave in southern Germany. Together, the pieces comprise a 22-centimetre instrument with 5 holes and a notched end. The surface of the flute and the structure of the bone are in excellent condition and reveal many details about its manufacturer. The maker carved 2 deep V-shaped notches into one end of the instrument, presumably to form the end into which the musician blew, and 4 fine lines near the finger holes. The other end is broken off, but based on the normal size of the vultures, Connard estimates that the intact flute was probably 5 to 7 centimetres longer. The Hohlfels flute is more complete and appears slightly older than the bone and ivory fragments from 7 other flutes recovered in southern Germany caves, and documented by Connard and his colleagues in recent years. Another flute excavated in Austria is believed to be about 19,000 years old, and a group of 22 flutes found in the French Pyrenees Mountains have been dated at up to 30,000 years. Connor's team excavated the flute in September 2008, the same month that they recovered six ivory fragments from the Hole of Fells cave that formed an exquisite female figurine that they believe is the oldest known sculpture of the human form. Together, the flute and the figure found in the same layer of sediment suggest that modern humans had established an advanced culture in Europe some 35,000 years ago. In 1995, archaeologist Ivan Turk excavated a barebone artifact from a cave in Slovenia that he had dated to around 43,000 years ago and suggested it was made by Neanderthals. But other archaeologists, including Noe, have challenged that theory, suggesting instead that the twin holes on the 11-centimeter-long bone were made by a carnivore's bite. The discovery of stones that are thought to date back to the Bronze Age have halted a multi-million pound sewage treatment project in Cornwall. South West Water has stopped work while Cornwall's council archaeologists investigate the site at Trevalga, which lies between Bowcastle and Tintagel. The stones encircle a dark circular stain in the ground and are thought to indicate the location of a roundhouse. Archaeologists believe the site could date back to 1500 BCE. Senior archaeologist Andy Jones said his team were hoping to find traces of people's daily lives through controlled excavation of the site over the next few weeks. The remains of the first Europeans discovered at an archaeological site in northern Spain have revealed that these prehistoric men were cannibals who particularly liked the flesh of children. José María Bermúdez de Castro, one of the co-directors of the Atapuerca project, a UNESCO World Heritage site, is convinced that they practice cannibalism. A study of the remains revealed that they turned to cannibalism to feed themselves and not as part of ritual, that they ate their rivals after killing them, mostly children and adolescents. The remains discovered in the caves appear scattered, broken and mixed with other animals such as horse, deer, rhinoceros, animals caught in hunting and eaten, which suggests that cannibalism was gastronomic rather than ritual. The Atapuerca caves were first discovered in the late 19th century when a tunnel was blasted through the mountain for a railway line. Excavations, though, did not take place until 1978. Then, in 1984, they found 150 human remains. In 1992, they found an intact skeleton, and 2 years later, they discovered further remains dating back more than 800,000 years. These remains probably correspond to the first humans who reached Europe, known as Homo antecessor. Homo antecessor, who lived before Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, probably came to the caves of Atapuerca after a long migration from Africa and through the Middle East, northern Italy and France. They found water and food in abundance, could hunt wild boar, horses, deer, which means that they did not practice cannibalism through lack of food. They discovered two levels that contained cannibalized remains, which also means that this was not a one-off thing, but had continued through time. Another interesting aspect is that most of the 11 individuals that have been identified as victims of cannibalism were children. Mmm, tasty. Workers renovating a house in Bethlehem in the Palestinian territories accidentally discovered an untouched tomb containing clay pots, plates, beads and the bones of two humans. The 4,000-year-old tomb provides a glimpse of the burial customs of the area's inhabitants during the Canaanite period. Workers in a house near the Church of the Nativity uncovered a hole leading to the grave, which was about 1 meter below ground. They contacted antiquities officials who photographed the grave intact before removing its contents. They dated the grave to the early Bronze Age, between 1900 and 2200 BCE. Jerusalem-based archaeologist and historian Stefan Fan called the find an important reference to the life of the Canaanites, adding that it would give a glimpse into life in the area before the time when the biblical patriarchs are said to have lived. While many artifacts exist from this period, intact graves are rare, mainly because of looting. The finds will be housed in the Bethlehem Peace Centre, a cultural centre not far from where the tomb was discovered. So that's quite nice, they're not actually going to be moving too far from where they were buried 4,000 years ago. Archaeologists have used stone tools to answer many questions about human ancestors in both the distant and near past, and now they're analysing the origin of obsidian flakes to better understand how people settled and interacted in the inhospitable Kuril Islands in Russia's Sakhalin Oblast region. using X-ray fluorescence spectrometers, archaeologists from the University of Washington and the Smithsonian Institution have found the origin of 131 flakes of obsidian. These small flakes were discarded after stone tools were made from obsidian and were found at 18 sites on 8 islands in the Kurils. The flakes were found with other artefacts that were dated over a time period spanning about 1700 years from 500 BCE to 1250 CE. Despite the island's volcanic origin, there are no known local sources of obsidian. The research team of Phillips and Speakman pinpointed the analysed Kuril flakes to 4 locations on Hokkaido and 5 sources on Kamchatka. The majority of the flakes, slightly more than 60%, originated in Kamchatka. Human occupation of the Kurils began around 4,000 years ago at the southern end of the island chain near Hokkaido and gradually spread northward. And where humans went, they carried obsidian with them. The researchers found a basic pattern of obsidian distribution in the islands. Obsidian from Hokkaido was primarily found in the southern Kurils, with only a few samples discovered in the central Kurils. Kamchatka obsidian was only found in the central and northern Kurils. The southern Kurils are separated from the other islands in the chain by a 70-mile-wide Bussel Strait. Phillips believes that at some time it became too costly and too dangerous to make these ocean crossings, and people in the central and northern islands began then trading for Kamchatka obsidian. People were storing grain long before they learned to domesticate crops, a new study indicates. A structure used as a food granary discovered in recent excavations in Jordan dates to around 11,300 years ago, according to a report in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Yet much recent research suggests that plant domestication was preceded by a long period, perhaps thousands of years, during which prehistoric people cultivated wild plants without visibly changing their appearance or altering their genetic makeup. At the site of Gilgal 1, for example, near Jericho on the West Bank, excavators have found some 300,000 grains of wild barley and 120,000 grains of wild oats in a stone building dated to 11,400 years ago. Smaller amounts of wild cereals have also been found in early villages in Israel, Jordan, Syria and Turkey. Since 2002, a team led by archaeologist Ian Cudgett of the University of Notre Dame in Indiana and Bill Finlayson of the Council of British Research in the Levant in Amman have been excavating the site of Dra, just east of the Dead Sea. Radiocarbon dating indicates that this village was occupied for a little more than 100 years, beginning around 11,300 years ago. The excavators have uncovered at least 10 oval or circular buildings, with walls made of stone or mud brick with mud floors, which appear to have been used both as houses and as food processing centres. Interspersed between these units, the archaeologists have found at least 4 circular structures, about 3 metres in diameter, whose floors appear to have been suspended above the ground, and which the team believes were granaries. Although analysis of plant remains found in these structures is still underway, they appear to have been wild barley. Inside the best preserved of these structures sits a series of notched stones set upright in the ground, which the archaeologists hypothesize supported wooden beams that were then covered with plant and mud to create a raised floor. This would have protected the grains from rodents and insects and also allowed for air circulation to keep the grain dry. The team argues that the storage of wild grains was essential to all of the key developments of the agricultural revolution. The emergence of domesticated cereals, the growth of large communities and the rise of social hierarchies. Interestingly, the purported granaries at Dra were located outside of the village residences and thus may have been shared by the entire community. Sometimes archaeology is just pure magic, where startling discoveries about why we are who we are start to come to life. It's amazing to think, actually, that it was the notched stone and the granary that allowed for the internet. Pagans and partygoers drummed, danced and gyrated in hula hoops to stay awake through the night as around 36,000 people greeted the summer solstice at the ancient stone circle of Stonehenge. Despite fears of trouble because of the record-sized crowd, the police said that the annual party at the mysterious monument was mostly peaceful. Warm weather and the fact that the year's solstice fell on the weekend helped to draw in a record crowd. Peter Carson of English Heritage said that there had been a great atmosphere, and where else would you like to be on Midsummer's Day? That's a question, actually. Where would you like to be on Midsummer's Day? Why not actually contact us and say where you were on this year's Midsummer? Get in touch with Stone Pages on that one. Serbian archaeologists have uncovered a 7,000-year-old grave in a Neolithic village in the west of the country. The grave contains the well-preserved skeletons of a child and an adult buried in fetal position and placed on top of each other. It's unusual because the double grave is within the village. It seems that they emptied a hut and then used it as a burial site. The grave and tools from the village, part of the so-called Starchevo culture, provided invaluable insight into the life of early farmers. However, further archaeological remains in the area are threatened by diggings from a nearby coal mine. And finally, for about as long as humans have created works of art, they've also left behind their handprints. People began stenciling, painting, or chipping imprints of their hands into rock walls at least 30,000 years ago. Until recently, most scientists assumed that these prehistoric handprints were male. But even on superficial examination of published photos, Dean Snow of Pennsylvania State University was able to suggest that there was a lot of female hands there in European cave art. Analyzing hand stencils dating back some 28,000 years in Spain's El Castillo cave, archaeologist Dean Snow concluded that many of the artists there were female. The very long ring finger on the left hand is a dead giveaway for male hands, he said. The one on the right has a long index finger and a short pinky, thus is very feminine. His findings suggest women's role in prehistoric culture may have been far greater than previously thought. We don't know what the roles of artists were in Upper Paleolithic society between 40,000 to 20,000 years ago, but it's a step forward to be able to say that a large number of them were women. Snow's research was limited to Europe, but he hopes to do similar studies at prehistoric sites elsewhere. So, more amazing discoveries and news next week. But if you can't wait, may I suggest that you get yourself along to Past Horizons magazine if you haven't read it yet and catch up with the news. And can I also remind you that there's many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library Guidance, and of course the fabulous forum on Badger, www.bajr.org. And remember, more can always be found on Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you return next week.